We need to go to the hotline right now because we've got our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, joining us. Al, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic, man. No complaints on Neil Young this weekend. Got to knock that off my bucket list. So it's been a good week. How about yourself?
So far, so good. If you could shoo LeBron away from L.A. and keep him out this way, that would be nice. You got any pull there? Can you do that for us?
Dude, I got it. Here's what I can do. I'll scout around. If I see him in L.A., I'll, slash his tires or something. You know, do something to make him know he's not wanted here.
All right, good deal. I like it.
Real quick, I know I'm here to talk movies, but I will say, since you guys probably aren't as up-to-date on the L.A. sports talk, a lot of L.A. fans do not want LeBron here, crazy enough as it sounds. I've heard a lot of takes saying that they'd rather go with the young guys, which is crazy to me. But, yeah, we'll see.
Wait. In L.A., they're saying they don't want LeBron?
There is a very large, I wouldn't say it's the majority, but there's a large fan group that would rather just go with the young guys and build from within instead of getting LeBron and Paul George. Because they don't want to do the whole LeBron circus, but it's crazy to me. That makes no sense.
Well, hey, you hear a murmur or two around here about that. People say, well, if he wants to go, let him go. We'll build within. But, that surprises me that there's that many people at L.A. I'd think they'd – I don't know. That Lakers team doesn't look all that great. But, anywho.
I'm with you. And I'm ready for the Colin Sexton era to begin. But, you know, we can talk about that another time.
Yeah, we will revisit this conversation a little bit later on, but let's begin with the Conners. It seems as though ABC's content moving forward without Roseanne, and I think that's not necessarily a surprise because that's an idea I think that you and I talked about a few weeks back when the first idea of Roseanne being kicked off by ABC because of the tweet that she sent out. So this isn't necessarily a surprise. You had mentioned, look, with all the talent on that cast, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert, John Goodman, of course, there's a lot of talent on that cast. And really and truly, I know there are going to be a lot of people politically that may not watch this for one reason or another, but I think because of all the stars that you have involved here, Al, there's a chance this thing could make it, right?
Yeah. I'm not to toot my own horn, but I think when I came on to talk about the cancellation right when it happened, I said, I wish they wouldn't have canceled it and they just would have fired Roseanne and done a show based on Sarah Gilbert's character. And I guess they took my advice. This is why I'm the Hollywood Insider Bowl.
That's right.
Because I come up with these ideas before anyone else does. But, no, you have John Goodman, you have Laurie Metcalf, you have Sarah Gilbert, who created the show, or this new iteration of it anyways. I think it can work without her. I'm interested to see what they do with her character. My biggest concern is I think the quality will be there. I think it will be a good show in the spirit of Roseanne, but I have a feeling the numbers won't be good because both sides will politicize it. Like, you already have, you know, all of these conservative right-wingers who agreed with Roseanne. They're not going to watch the show. I can guarantee you that. And then you also have some left-wingers saying that, like, you know, maybe this shouldn't happen because of it's still in the spirit of that, which I think is just ludicrous. I'm kind of over the politicization of everything. I think we should just enjoy it if it's good, forget how it became. You have some of, like we said, legitimately two of the greatest television actors of all time, with John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf, doing a swan song. The fact that this way also keeps all those people employed that were signed on to the second season of Roseanne, which is huge. I just think it's a great idea all across the board. And I do hope it does well, and I do hope it does not become, like, another huge political movement, because that's the last thing we need in 60 years from now, our grandchildren reading about political history and having to do a section on the Roseanne show.
Right, or the Conners, or whatever they decide to call this thing
exactly.
Moving forward, I'm with you on that. If it's good, enjoy it. If it's not, then just let it be. Put politics aside and just enjoy this thing for what it is. I'm 100% with you on that. Well, Let's move into something else I know that we discussed in the past, but we've not gotten into for a while. Boy, you take a look at social media, people are going crazy over Westworld. And, of course, over the weekend they had the season finale. Lots of buzz about this show. Any idea what they're going to do with this show moving forward? I mean, because it seemed like there were just a lot of twists and turns over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't think I'm the only one that had this. I'm going to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, but I don't think I'm the only one that had this viewpoint on it. I watched the hour-and-a-half season finale yesterday. I thought the whole season was okay. Like, I've never been a huge fan of the show, but I liked it, and I understand why people are, like, super excited for it and why it's done such good ratings. But I don't know what I watched last night. Last night, and I don't think I'm the only one with that opinion. I looked on Twitter. A lot of people kind of agreed with me. I don't know what I watched. It was an hour and a half of just weird twists that really didn't, I think, mean a lot. And, like, it was, I think the main problem with this show right now is that they are undercutting character building and storyline structure with these twists and turns and the changing of time. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, like, I have no idea what the next season is going to be like because I don't even know how the season actually ended. It's such a mind, you know, I don't want to finish that. But it's tough, man. And like I said, it's huge water cooler talk. I've been having conversations all day about it. People love this show, and yet I have no idea what I just watched. I think it's kind of akin to maybe something like Lost, except I think Lost was a little easier for the viewer to watch and comprehend, as crazy as that sounds now. And I think Westworld just, they don't care if the audience gets it. This is what they're having. And I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you if I'm excited to watch the third season. I will, but I don't know. It's going to do big ratings. It's got a lot of people watching, but I think it really has to change the way it does the show to get me excited. Are either of you guys, either of you guys watch it?
No, I've heard a lot about it. Like you said, it's difficult to avoid, not necessarily the spoilers, but just the general thoughts on the series itself. I've read a lot about it on Twitter. I've read a lot about it. I guess I say a little bit on Facebook, but a lot about it on Twitter. And people just go wild over the idea and the concept of this show. But I didn't necessarily hear a whole lot of the backlash from last night's episode. I mean, it sounds like you didn't like it a whole lot. And, you know, I think if you went through it the way you just did, thinking, what in the world did I just watch? That surprises me a bit that more people wouldn't have come out and said the same kind of thing. It's an hour and a half, too. That's a really long season finale, no?
Yes, but their last one was as well. I think HBO likes to give its shows a little bit of time, but yeah, Westworld's a much longer show than anything else, and I don't think it really needs that time. I think it drags at times. But I will say this, Ed Harris is still king. Any show that he's on, I'll try and watch. Love Ed Harris. But I want to like it a lot more than I do, but that's how I feel about it. And I've read some critics kind of align with me, and others do really enjoy it. But for me, I don't like to be confused when I'm watching something, right? I like to be maybe not even tricked, you know? I want to have the respect of the director. I want a director that respects the audience, that like, hey, we're not going to mess with you and have fun at your expense. And I feel like this show kind of does that with the audience. And that's just my take on it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll transition from that into a movie I've tried to avoid because I didn't get a chance to see it over the weekend. So I avoid reading as much about this as I can because I know spoilers are coming out. I began to read an article about it this morning, and it talked about, well, what in the world happened? What is the ending to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom mean? And I stopped right there because I knew if I read any further, I was going to find out some information I didn't want to find out. But boy, apparently a lot of people found out because it did really well at the box office, as expected. It brought in $150 million. Al, you told us last week it was definitely going to lead the way because it was really the only primetime flick to debut this weekend. But boy, did it do well. I don't know if you've had the chance to see this yet or read about it just yet, but I've not necessarily heard anything bad about it. The critics do seem to like it.
Yeah, from what I've seen, like, I didn't get a chance to see it. But I do want to see it. I like the director a lot. I thought it was a very inspired choice. I didn't like the director of the last one. And from what I've seen, Rotten Tomatoes was like right down the middle, 50%. And that's what I've kind of heard. Like, I think a lot of what I heard is that the story isn't great, but it's such a gorgeous film to watch. And like, if you can just let that go and watch, like I said, this this really spectacle and not get too much in the story, you'll enjoy it. And so I'm definitely excited to see it. But it did way better numbers than I thought it would. I thought it could maybe reach 100 million. I did not think it would eclipse 100 million, let alone get 150. And I could be wrong. I think that's bigger than the first, than the last one that had come out, but I don't know for sure off the top of my head, but it did great numbers. Yeah. And obviously that means there'll probably be another one of these, but yeah, it's hard for me to say too much about it until I see it, but I'm excited to see it even with some of the middling reviews. It sounds right up my alley, and I'm sure to, I think it'll probably do pretty good next week since it doesn't have much competition, unless Uncle Drew wins the box office. But we can talk about that next week.
Yeah. Can't wait for that one to come out. No,
The thing is, that movie actually may win the box office next week. I'm not going to say it will, but it doesn't have a lot of competition. It's got some decent names to it. I don't think it's going to be good at all, but it could do pretty good in the box office. I'm actually kind of curious to see how Uncle Drew does next week.
Something to see, I suppose. But I think what's fascinating, you brought it up, is the beauty of the Jurassic Park movies. Because let's be honest, when you go through that first set of them, 2 and 3, you really could have done without first one. I mean, that came out in 93 and was like nothing anyone had really seen on the silver screen before. And now you just kind of have that continuation. It's just fascinating to see the different dinosaurs that are popped into it. And it seems that's kind of what it's been riding for a while, because let's be honest, the plot of the movie is pretty much the same every single time they make one of these.
Yeah, totally. And I'd only seen the first one. I never watched the other two after that. I watched the new one. That's one of the few movies that I hold the original in such high esteem that I don't really get excited for them because I know they're not going to be even close. And to me, that one really shouldn't have garnered any sequels, right? That one was just, that was a perfect movie. I get a little with the superhero movies doing sequels and other things, but to me, there is only one Jurassic Park, and I'm fine with that. It's not like Star Wars where the story really needed three parts. It just made no sense to me, and I wish they would have just stayed with the one.
Sure. I, the only thing I'd have said about the second one is I wish they'd have followed the book, because the book was good, and then they screwed up the movie.
Fair enough. Everybody's got an opinion on the way these series unfold. No doubt about that. Al, any quick thoughts on some of the other movies at the box office this week? You know, The Incredibles continues to do extraordinarily well. I know we talked about that last week. I think the number was thrown out there that of all those that went out to see it last week, about 31% of the audience was considered adults. And if you look at the other movies that are out right now still, I mean, Deadpool 2 still doing extraordinarily well. I saw that's grossed somewhere in the area of $700 million, making it the third largest grossing R-rated movie of all time. So obviously, the box office still seems to be doing okay. Are there any other titles in the box office that you're excited about in addition to The Fallen Kingdom?
Not really. I think it's been the same, like, in the top 10. Hereditary fell a little bit. Won't You Be My Neighbor actually did really good for a documentary. The new Mr. Rogers doc did 1.8 million this week, which is pretty great for a documentary in only 300 theaters. And I think as the theaters go on, that might be a very high grossing documentary, which I'm excited to see because I love Mr. Rogers. I would love to see that movie. And then, you know, there's a lot of also lower films that the numbers aren't doing great, but because they were made for cheap are doing well and getting really good reviews. Movies like American Animals, First Reformed, Hearts Beat Loud just came out this week. So there's always those indie films that come out at the bag that I get the most excited for, and definitely recommend seeing those. And those are doing all right. obviously not great numbers, but they're surviving, and we'll see what happens as the theater numbers increase. A lot of those are only in 300, 400 theaters. So, yeah, I think what I'm really excited to see in the next couple weeks, as I just mentioned, is Won't You Be My Neighbor at 2 million in 340 theaters. When that number goes up, see how it does, and see how it does, you know, in the history of documentary box office.
Good stuff. Well, Al, before we let you go, we've got to get this week's picks to click. I was able to watch the one you suggested last week, Yellowstone. I T-voted, watched it yesterday. I thought the first episode was awesome. What do you have for us for this week's picks to click?
Well, actually, this is a good one because this was my first ever pick to click on the show, was season one of Glow, which lived up to the hype I gave it. I love that season. And season two premieres this Friday. So if you haven't seen Glow, you should definitely binge the first season today, all week, until the second season premieres on Friday. Because I think that show is just, the trailer came out, it looks bigger and better this season. And anytime I can watch Mark Maron, Allison Brie for a half an hour, I'm in. So, yeah, Glow Season 2, highly recommend my pick to click this week.
Very good stuff. Well, Al, we appreciate the time as always, my good friend, and we will do this again next week.
All right, sounds good. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, you too. Again, Al Harris, our Hollywood guru.